Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
What kind of tribulations have you gone through? God comforts us in all of our tribulation. I'm confident when I hear of a horrible thing that has happened to someone in the church, that when I pray that God would comfort that family, that God brings comfort.
God promised we would have trials in this life. That's not something you want to put on a t-shirt, and it probably wouldn't sell very well. But here's a companion promise. He has already secured our victory over those trials, filling us with His comfort and His strength. If you need to hear more about God's comfort today, stay with us for our second part of our teaching out of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 13. Here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
He says in verse 4, who comforts us in all of our tribulations. God is the God of comfort, and He comforts us in all of our tribulation. What kind of tribulations have you gone through? God comforts us in all of our tribulation. I'm confident when I hear of a horrible thing that has happened to someone in the church, that when I pray that God would comfort that family, that God brings comfort. In my own experience, in a time when I thought I couldn't be comforted, I was comforted by our God. He comforts us in all of our tribulations. Sometimes we don't receive it. You ever try to comfort someone who doesn't want to be comforted? Sometimes we're like that. God wants to comfort us, but we just don't receive it. Who comforts us in all of our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. Now, I don't know if you're going to like this or not, but he tells me the reason that I have gone through difficulties and then been comforted is so that I can comfort you when you go through similar difficulties. Who can comfort the loss of a spouse like someone who has lost a spouse? Who can comfort someone who's going through the incredible pain of divorce like someone who's been through the incredible pain of divorce? Who can comfort someone who's lost a child like someone who's lost a child? We might like to think, well, God's just not going to let that happen to us. But we are ministers of the living God. And we are sent out into this world as representatives. And God gives us real life experiences. He doesn't insulate us from the pain. He doesn't insulate us from the sorrow. He doesn't insulate us from the things that we wish we were insulated from, because God wants us to be able to take the comfort of God and go out and comfort those. Now again, sometimes we don't like that. It might depend on where you are in your grief. And you grieve not only over death, but you grieve over a divorce. You grieve over an illness. You could get an illness that's going to change the way that you live. You grieve when you hear the news that your life is going to change because there's something that you've got, some kind of a disease. But now you're also able to comfort someone else that has diabetes or Addison's disease. Or something else that you suddenly find out that you have, and it's going to change the whole way that you live. And when you're going through the stages of grief, it's different for everybody. But I'll tell you, the stage of anger is true, because I've been through it myself. Thought I would never be angry at God, but I got angry at God. Praise God, I never said anything. I never said anything to Him I'm ashamed of. I just got mad at Him. And then I talked to Him about it. That's the best thing to do when you're mad at God. God, you could have stopped it. You could stop anything. Why? Because we need to be able to comfort those who are going through exactly what we went through with the comfort of God. He goes on to say, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us. Did you ever notice that about Paul before? He's talking about him and Timothy now. The sufferings of Christ abound in us. We learn in Philippians what he thinks about those sufferings. When he says, we make up in our bodies the suffering that is to complete Christ. That as we suffer, we complete the sufferings of Jesus. Paul said in Philippians as well, that I might know him in the power of his resurrection. To which I say, amen. May we know him in the power of his resurrection. But then he said, and in the fellowship of his suffering. Well, they beat him all night. They pulled the beard out of his face. They scourged him and they crucified him. And Paul says that I may know him in the fellowship of his suffering. I'm going to tell you, this is some preaching you don't hear from some pulpits. You don't hear people talking about 2 Corinthians. They want to talk about something else. They want to talk about easy times and good times. But I think it was Charles Spurgeon who said, preach to the brokenhearted and you will never lack for an audience. We may put on a good face. We may put on like we're okay, but we need the comfort of God because the suffering has been upon us, even as it is upon Paul. For the sufferings of Christ abound in us. So our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now, if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation. If we are afflicted, he says, and he's been afflicted in great ways, he says it's because of you guys, that you would be moved, and it's for your own salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings for which we suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. He says that twice. It's for your consolation. It's for your salvation. It's for your sake. If we are suffering, it's for you. If we're comforted, it's for you. Really, when it all comes down to it, our lives here are for the people that we will interact with. That's why, well, we encourage you to have a good reputation among family, friends, coworkers, acquaintances, and the church, so that people, when they see Christ in you, when the day comes and the Lord turns on that light for you to shine, that you're able to make a good testimony. Because that's really what our life is about. Our lives are like a vapor. They're here one moment and they're gone the next. So we live our lives and we face the suffering, the difficulties and the hardship for the consolation and for the salvation of those that are around us. And they go through suffering as well. It's not us chosen for suffering. The whole world suffers. We're just not saved from it. Trust me. I wish we were. I wish that God made it so that the moment that we got saved, nothing bad ever happened to us again. And we overflowed with bank. That's what I wish. But it ain't like that. When we come to Christ, we come and we pour out our hearts. We come to him with our poverty and we give it to him and we say, Lord, use us. I'm yours. And God uses us so we can have riches in heaven. And Paul says that at the end of 2 Corinthians. Bring your poverty to Christ that you may gain riches in eternity. Bring whatever you have. Paul was a humble man to write these kind of things. There are those today that believe that if you suffer, if you have any kind of physical ailment, it is because you lack faith. They believe the more spiritual you are, the less suffering you go through. I believe these men have never seriously read 2 Corinthians. They've glossed over it, looking for what they can cherry pick out of it to be able to back up their own ideas. But it's not true. Paul, of all men, had it together. But Paul had been humbled, suffered a physical infirmity, suffered emotionally. We're going to see in a moment, suffered to the point where he wanted to die. It's pretty heavy. Have you been there? Maybe some of you have been to where you want to kill yourself. I'm not really asking that. That's not what Paul says. I would want to say that there's comfort for you as well. That if life has gotten so dark and horrible for you, there's comfort in God for you. You don't have to end it. You can turn to Him and you can find comfort in it. But what I'm asking is, maybe you're there now where you're saying, I could care less if I live or die. Or maybe you've been there where you just think, whether I live or die, I don't care. I've been there. I've been where I've said to God, I didn't want to kill myself, but I just said to Him, Lord, I don't care. Take me now, take me in 50 years, doesn't matter to me. I was just indifferent to it. The suffering of Paul is so complete, but he sees it's for a reason. He knows that it's an investment. He knows that when we suffer, and we suffer for the sake of Christ, that we complete the work of Christ on the cross, and God uses our suffering. And people listen because of it. Calvary Chapel pastor John Corson lost a wife and a daughter, as I understand it, on the same turn, on the same road, where they went off the road and were killed in two different events. That's hard. Recently, he lost his son, Peter John Corson, who got a septic infection. I think he had Crohn's disease. Got a septic infection and killed him. And when I hear John Corson on the radio, I listen a little closer. I think he's got something to say. He's been through a lot. And the suffering that he's been through is for salvation and for consolation. And the suffering that you've been through is for salvation and consolation of the people that are around you. If there were no other reason than these two, the suffering so we can comfort those who are hurting, and suffering so we can bring salvation, so people might listen a little more to us, then that's reason enough to say, okay, I don't want it, but I'll accept it. Are you with me? I don't want it, but I'll accept it. For the sake of the gospel, for the sake of comfort, and for the sake of Christ. He says in verse 7, and our hope for you is steadfast. I love that. This church has almost been, it was taken from him. His reputation was ruined by these men who spread malicious, slanderous lies about Paul, by men who said, this man is weak in appearance. I imagine that they were good looking. Paul later on in this book will say, I am weak in appearance. He's saying, I don't look really good. And I'm not a very good public speaker. These other guys were. But Paul says now, after he went Titus hunting and got the word back, the church is back on track again. He says, I'm confident for you that you're steadfast. Because we know that you are partakers of the suffering. You yourself, Corinth, have suffered. So also you will partake in the consolation. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble. Paul now wants to say, The trouble that we've gone through has not simply been the trouble that we've had with the brethren in Corinth. In Ephesus, there was much pain caused for Paul. There was a guild, a silversmith guild, that made idols to Artemis, to Diana. And Paul was so effective in Ephesus that they didn't sell as many idols. Hit him in the pocketbook. Later on, he would say of Demetrius the silversmith, "He did me great harm in Ephesus." We don't know what that harm was. We do know that there was a rally of about 25,000 people, and they chanted, "Great is the goddess Diana, great is the goddess Diana," for hours. But I don't think that's what Paul was talking about. He says, "I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our troubles which came upon us in Asia." And that would be Asia Minor. That would be the area of Ephesus and the other churches that are there. Smyrna and Thyatira, the other churches in Asia Minor. Derbe, Galatia, Phrygia, all of those places that Paul had traveled to. He says that we were burdened beyond measure. We were burdened beyond measure. Paul uses such adjectives here that it loses strength if we don't come back and read it again. Burdened beyond measure. So you can't measure it. You can't measure how much we were burdened above strength, so that we despised even of life. We just, again, despise. I don't care. If I die, let me die now. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. It was so much trouble. It was such a hardship that he despaired of life and thought, "All I can hope now is for the resurrection of the dead." Then he says, "Who delivered us so great a death, and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us." I don't know what Paul faced. Paul says at one point, I fought a wild beast in Ephesus. Some believe that he was brought to an arena, and maybe a gladiator arena, and that a wild beast was literally turned out upon him, and that God saved his life. Now, I don't know that that's completely unreasonable. Paul never says that particularly. He may be using, "I fought a beast in Ephesus," meaning a person. There's this person, and he was a beast. He was in the flesh. And I fought him. But whatever it was, his life was in danger, and God saved his life. God gave him more time. Events like that, they are indeed life-changing. The close flyby to death makes you feel like you're living on borrowed time. It makes you say, let me get serious about how I live now. Maybe we can get serious on Paul's close flyby. He says in verse 11, "You also, helping together in praying for us, you also helped by your prayers." How many of you know that your prayers actually help people? I understand what C.S. Lewis was saying when he said prayer changes things, that prayer doesn't change things, it changes you. I understand what he was saying, and I like C.S. Lewis, and I think his writings are deep and profound, but I greatly disagree. Prayer changes things, and prayer changes you. Prayer changes destinies. There's an example in the Old Testament of King Hezekiah, and God sent Isaiah to him to tell him that he was going to die. Isaiah walks in on his deathbed, looks at him and says, "You're going to die from this ailment," says God. I'd just like to hear those words. The Lord says, "You're going to die." The Bible says Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and cried, which is probably what I would do. And as Isaiah was walking out, the Lord spoke to him and said, "Go back." And he went back in, and Isaiah said, "Thus says the Lord, he's going to grant you more years." And he didn't die from it. He lived 15 more years. Now listen, I read that, And I don't know where to put that in my theology. Anybody else feel that way? He said, thus says the Lord, you're going to die. Thus says the Lord, you're not going to die anymore. And that prayer went from you're going to die to you're not going to die. And when I go, thus says the Lord, well, Bible says that God relents, which means that God changes what he's going to do. God relents. He's a God who relents. And our prayers are involved in him relenting. I'm still lost in my theology on it all, okay? I don't know where to place it. I don't have a category to put it in. All I know is the Bible teaches it. That's all I know. I know that when people prayed in the Bible, God moved. And Paul says, you prayed for me, and you helped save me. The prayer that they prayed for him helped him. And he's thankful for their prayer in his time of distress. You also help together in prayers for us, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many. That there were a lot of people in a lot of different places that were saying, praise God, Paul's alive. Whatever it was that Paul faced, maybe it's one of the arrests that he talks about. Maybe it's one of the muggings that he talks about. Maybe it's one of the beatings with poles that he talked about. Maybe it's one of the scourgings that he talked about. Maybe it's one of the shipwrecks that he talks about. Whatever it was, he says there's many people thanking God because you prayed. He says, for our boasting is this, the testimony of our conscience, that we conduct ourselves in word and simplicity and godly sincerity. We don't run around bragging and trying to make a name for ourselves. See, he's contrasting himself to these selfish, ambitious, self-made preachers. He says, we conduct ourselves in word and simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God and more, but by the grace of God and more abundantly towards you. For we are not writing any other thing to you than what you read or understand. Now I trust you will understand even to the end. That's where we'll stop. We're not done with the section on suffering. Paul continues on. But if there is, well, I was talking to Troy a little bit earlier about, Troy is one of our pastors on staff here. He's been here for 24 years, something like that. I was talking to him about this passage. I was saying, it's not like Romans. Romans is really laid out. You can really find an outline in it. You can kind of go from boom, 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 boom. I said, Paul's just kind of pouring his heart out. It's just like he's taken his sorrow and grief and just dumped it out on a page. And it just comes out. And you try to outline it and you're like, I can't. It just is there. And he said, and Troy does a lot of counseling now. Many of you guys in difficult, hard times have counseled with Troy. He said, it's my go-to passage on grief. He said, when I'm talking to someone who's in the midst of a very difficult thing, I open up the Bible to 2 Corinthians. Start at about verse 3 and go to about verse 10. It's a good verse. It's a good chapter. It's a good passage. And it's good for us to understand these things.
We hope you've been blessed, encouraged, and edified by what you've heard here on Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Chapel here in Tucson, Arizona. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com, where you'll find recordings of weekly services at Calvary Tucson and also archives of Practical Christian Living programs. If you live in the Tucson area or you're ever visiting our community, we'd love for you to stop by one of our two campuses in East and Southwest Tucson. You can find service times online at calvarytucson.com. We'd love to have you visit for Bible study. Drop into our Solid Ground coffee shop and bookstore, or take a minute to look through our Mission Thrift Store located at our West Campus, which benefits our various missions projects. Have you accepted Jesus into your life or have questions about salvation? Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. That's SAVED at CalvaryTucson.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. And we want to remind our local listeners that you can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KGUN9. May you walk in the grace and peace of Jesus today.
We are grateful for your generosity in supporting this ministry. If you would like to donate to Practical Christian Living Radio, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org. There, you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner and commit to support Practical Christian Living on a recurring basis. We thank you for your support.